episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Vultr, spelled V-U-L-T-R, because they're all about helping save money, including on things like, you know, vowels. So what they do is they are a cloud provider that provides surprisingly high performance cloud compute at a price that, well, sure, they claim it is better than AWS's pricing. And when they say that, they mean that it's less money. Sure, I don't dispute that. But what I find interesting is that it's predictable. They tell you in advance on a monthly basis what it's going to cost. They have a bunch of advanced networking features. They have 19 global locations and scale things elastically, not to be confused with openly, which is apparently elastic and open. They can mean the same thing sometimes. They have had over 1 million users. Deployments take less than 60 seconds across 12 pre-selected operating systems. Or if you're one of those nutters like me, you can bring your own ISO and install basically any operating system you want. Starting with pricing as low as $2.50 a month for Vultr Cloud Compute, they have plans for developers and businesses of all sizes, except maybe Amazon, who stubbornly insists on having something of the scale all on their own. But you don't have to take my word for it, with an exclusive offer for you. Sign up today for free and receive $100 in credits to kick the tires and see for yourself. Get started at vultr.com/morningbrief. That's vultr.com/morningbrief.
There are thousands of posts out there from the past 15 years talking about what to do to ensure that you don't run afoul of the AWS free tier limits and headlong into the land of giant billing surprise. But if you have ventured into that ominous territory, made a mistake, and received a disturbingly high bill, the prophylactic guidance screams to a halt. The articles I've seen don't offer meaningful advice past contact AWS support and be patient as you wait to see whether you're going to owe AWS more than the remaining balance of your mortgage. This podcast is intended to remedy that lack of useful, actionable steps for scrubbing those 5- and 6-figure charges from your bill. First step is to breathe. It's going to be okay. Now then, the first thing you should do is, in fact, open a support case with AWS immediately. Again, remember to breathe. Now, what should that support case say? I'd suggest being honest. But that said, here are some things to bear in mind. First, it's not going to be treated as the emergency that you almost certainly think it is. It's true. You're going to need to be prepared to wait a bit. AWS support is overloaded at the best of times, and there are a lot of issues that people bring them, like production is down, for example, that are more pressing than a billing issue. Rest assured, though it feels like your world is collapsing at the time, an AWS billing issue is something that can absolutely be handled competently during business hours. Further, when I say that you'll wait a bit, you should be aware that I mean the better part of 5 business days for an initial response, followed by a few more days every round of exchanges. You don't need a paid support plan for handling billing issues, but the response time you get is about what you can expect for not paying for support. It is a mixed bag. It might help you to remember that whatever it might feel like in the moment, AWS is not in the business of screwing people over. There's a better than good chance that your request will be granted and your debt will be discharged. Now, I shouldn't have to include this part, which boils down to don't be a jerk, but based upon some field experience reports, I very much do. So remember that you're asking for a favor. The person you're talking to is in fact a human being. They are empowered to advocate on your behalf, but they're also empowered to follow the precise letter of the policy set down for them. How do you think that insulting them is going to affect which path they choose to go down? Also, your overall tone when opening your support case is to differentiate yourself from someone who spun up a bunch of resources to mine cryptocurrency intentionally, followed by a sob story to AWS support to get away with this scot-free. You don't want to present as a scammer in your support case. And it should be clear that threatening AWS is a non-starter here. AWS is bigger than you are, and it can act accordingly. There are two notable threats that people love to toss around, and those are filing a chargeback and suing AWS. Let me explain why both of those are counterproductive. I'm filing a chargeback. So for those unaccustomed to the way that credit cards work in the US, filing a chargeback with your credit card company means that you're disputing the charge as illegitimate. Perhaps you'll win, maybe you'll get overruled, but either way, it just means that AWS is going to send a collections agency after you if you don't clean up this misunderstanding. Remember, you're trying to present as sympathetic. Causing trouble for them with their credit card processor cuts directly against that. I might feel slightly differently if that tactic worked, but it absolutely doesn't. The other big threat people love to use is, I'm going to sue you. Whenever you're involved in a customer service dispute with a company, threatening legal action is probably the dumbest thing that you can do until you've exhausted all other options. This episode is sponsored in parts by our friend EnterpriseDB. EnterpriseDB has been powering enterprise applications with PostgreSQL for 15 years, and now EnterpriseDB has you covered wherever you deploy PostgreSQL, on-premises, private cloud, and they just announced a fully managed service on AWS and Azure called Big Animal, all one word. Don't leave managing your database to your cloud vendor because they're too busy launching another half dozen managed databases to focus on any one of them that they didn't build themselves. Instead, work with the experts over at EnterpriseDB. They can save you time and money. They can even help you migrate legacy applications, including Oracle, to the cloud. To learn more, try Big Animal for free. Go to biganimal.com/snark and tell them Corey sent you. As soon as you go down that path, support reps at virtually every company are required to stop responding to you and refer your case to the legal department. Legal's responses are measured in weeks, and they're designed entirely to shield the company from liability. Plus, it's just not credible. People who are going to sue don't chest thump about it. They call their attorney, who says, say nothing to them that doesn't go through me first, and the opposing party finds out when the attorney sends them a nasty gram or files the suit. Now, while you're waiting for your response, see whether you can figure out what went wrong so you don't find yourself digging the hole deeper. It's invariably going to be something that strongly resembles the compromise of credentials on your end, and that might be harder to find than you'd expect. It's theoretically possible that you did something yourself in terms of misconfiguration, but that bill usually totals a few hundred dollars in most cases, or a couple of grand on the outside, unless you've just gone completely wild. I don't suggest stress Googling, but when you inevitably do, you might notice that historical posts on Reddit, Hacker News, or Twitter show bill problems with dollar figures that are way, way smaller than the problem that you're staring at. This is because there are now more regions, each with their own service quotas, along with ever more ways to exploit AWS services to mine cryptocurrency. With so many ways to run containers on AWS, every one of those containers could theoretically be put to work mining Bitcoin. Isn't Web3 wonderful? Now, in most cases, AWS will make a lot of the pain go away. I obviously can't promise results, but this is the template that I've seen get success in many previous scenarios. There's one last step, and this might be considered controversial, but lastly, I'd make sure that it's the last time that I would let AWS give me a bill surprise like this. Therefore, if I were you, I would wait until the charges were reversed and the issue settled, and then I would proceed to close my AWS account and not use the platform again for a while, if ever. My reasoning's pretty straightforward. First, it is entirely possible that you missed something that an attacker can use to regain access. Secondly, until AWS fixes the free tier, I've got to urge people to work in more safely sandboxed environments that don't charge customers five or occasionally six figures as a surprise when credentials become compromised. The giant billing surprise is a stressful, stressful thing. Why would anyone risk going through this hell more than once?
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.